Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hello, so go ahead, Ron.
Go ahead, Faye. Go ahead.
Yeah. So welcome to another edition of American Focus. This is your host, Saeed Sabour. I'm also being joined by Ron of Free World Filmworks and FreeWorldAlliance.com. On this episode of American Focus, we have a very special guest. Before I introduce our guest, I just like to give some background about the whole Israel-Palestine conflict. One thing that has to be considered, that not all Zionists are Jews and not all Jews are Zionists. Unfortunately, yes, because of America's lopsided foreign policy, the Zionist criminal state of Israel has gotten billions of illegal dollars, money that they have used to usurp the rights of the Palestinians and oppress them as well. But also has to be kept in mind that there have been many courageous voices, even among Jews who do not identify at all as Zionists. We mentioned them before, like the late Benjamin Friedman. There was also the late Dr. Alfred M. Lilienthal, who wrote the book What Price Israel? In that book, Dr. Lilienthal, chapter by chapter, dismantles the whole myth of the Zionist state of Israel, exposing its lies and blatant hypocrisies, its doctrine of ethnic superiority over all non-Jewish inhabitants of Israel. And also there are many other writers too, though. For example, the late Dr. Israel Shahak, he was the author of a very famous book, Jewish History, Jewish Religion, The Weight of 3,000 Years. Sir Shahak exposes the blatant the blatant hypocrisy and racism of the state of Israel, especially towards the Palestinians, and how they use Zionism and their own interpretation of Jewish scriptures to base that oppression on the Palestinians from. And our special guest is Rabbi David Weiss. He's the head of a group called Netura Karta. It actually means Guardians of the City. It's an organization of Haredi Jews who are adamantly opposed to the very existence of the State of Israel. They've campaigned all across the United States and all over the world, basically, showing their support for the Palestinian cause. Rabbi Weiss also went to Iran many, many years ago during the Holocaust Revisionist Conference, where he met with the then president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And with that, I would just like to, bring aboard the conversation, Rabbi Weiss. Ron, is the Rabbi Weiss on the line?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Before he, Ron, do you want to mention any new updates in the current events about COVID? The whole COVID scam?
Yeah, I'll go ahead, see if you can get him to call in.
Just go ahead. I'll call back, so just to stay on the line.
Yeah, the latest news is that on the COVID front is that Hillary Clinton, who is the de facto president of the United States Corporation, who rigged the election and put her puppet in, China Joe, as the puppet president, she's going full bore on destroying America. And the latest scam is making mandatory vaccines for all government employees in the blue states, the liberal states, especially right now New York, California, but all the blue states. The first responders, police, fire, medical, et cetera, have to get vaccinated. And if they don't, they're relieved, fired. What they plan on doing is bringing in, are you there, Saeed?
Yeah, I'm in. Rabbi Weiss is going to be calling in. Should be right now. Do you see another phone?
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
What she plans on doing is, oh, here he is. Okay, here's our guest.
Hello, Rabbi Weiss?
Okay, Rabbi. Go ahead, say he's on.
Okay. Rabbi Weiss, if you want to say a few words so we make sure the connection is clear.
Okay, with the help of the Almighty, my name is Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss, and I hope, with God's help, that we should be successful.
Yes, definitely. I can hear you.
Go ahead,
say it perfectly. Yeah, so Rabbi Weiss, I was in the beginning, I was giving an introduction on this segment of American Focus, basically about the fact that, you know, not all you know, Jews support the Zionist state of Israel, and you're one among the many courageous Jewish voices. I mentioned the late Dr. Israel Shahak, late Dr. Alfred M. Lilienthal, and many other prominent Jewish writers and critics of the state of Israel. There was also another one that we mentioned many times on previous shows. His name was Benjamin Beit Halakhmi. He was a professor in Tel Aviv, I forgot, in psychology, and he wrote a book called Who Israel Arms and Why. And he was also a very fervent critic, a courageous voice in the Jewish community who opposed Israel's oppression of Palestinians. And also, I mentioned the work that your organization does, but also before I let you talk, I wanted to mention to everybody listening to American Focus that not only are some of the biggest critics of Israel Jews themselves, but it's interesting that some of the biggest supporters of Israel, although there are Jewish supporters of Israel, there are also many non-Jewish Gentile supporters of the state of Israel who also are complicit in the propaganda of Zionism. So if you would like to come aboard and introduce yourself, that would be great.
Yeah, okay, so first, with the help of the Almighty, I pray to the Almighty to bestow upon me his truth, his wisdom, and that I may be worthy of conveying his message. And so, inshallah, sanctify his name and bring peace to the world. My name is Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss of Neturei Karta, Jews United Against Zionism. And this is the voice of the Jewish people around the world who stand fast in our Judaism, in the Torah, our covenant that we've accepted on Mount Sinai 3,000 years ago. It's not to be changed. It was given to us by God, and we remain true to that covenant, and therefore we oppose Zionism. Now, these Jewish people around the world are the voice of the Jews who are standing together with the covenant around the world. You will find invariably, no matter where the community may be, whether it will be in South America, in Argentina, whether it is in New York or in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds, you will find the same ideology throughout the world, that we are upholding the covenant, keeping the Ten Commandments, and we are opposing a concept of a so-called Jewish entity, a so-called Jewish sovereignty, a concept of a state, the Jewish state, whether it would be any part of the world, and in regard to the state of Israel, we oppose its existence, the mere existence of the state, because it flies in the face of our Torah, of this covenant that we made with God, and I will attempt, with God's help, to explain that. It may be really shocking to many people. It's surprising how that could be, that the state of Israel, which professes to be the core and the essence of the Jewish people, should be so directly contrasting to what we call Judaism, and that we should stand with such a strong opinion that it is unacceptable. But this is really a logical concept, and it's very understandable, and if you'll give me a few minutes, and with God's help, I'll be able to hopefully explain this. Our covenant with God was made 3,000 years ago on Mount Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu went up to God and took the Torah from God, and we made a covenant to uphold the Torah of the Jewish people and all the laws that are in the Torah. God commanded us, as one of the issues, that we should go up to the Holy Land and we should serve him there. We call it the Holy Land as it was given to us, as it was explained to us by God. And this was a requirement of the Torah. At the same time, the Almighty explained that it is holy. It is a very high level of holiness. And therefore, God stipulated with the Jewish people that you have to be on a very high level of holiness. And if not, then unfortunately, then we will be, the land will reject us. And so this is actually what happened. When the Almighty took us out of Egypt, the Jews then went, made this covenant with God. They went into the Holy Land. And then around 1,000 years after that, as was warned and explained and told many times in the words of the prophets of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and of all the prophets, Jeremiah, we were sent into exile through the destruction of the temple by the Romans, the Greeks. We were dispersed and sent spread out throughout the world. And we were put under oath by God that we should not attempt to return and recreate a Jewish sovereignty, because it is God's will that we should be dispersed amongst the nations and that we should not have this Jewish sovereignty. And we were put on the oath, three oaths, that we should not return en masse in large numbers. We should not rebel against any nation. We should be loyal citizens in every nation where we reside. We should pray for the well-being of that country. And thirdly, we should never make any attempt to end this exile. Now, this happened around 2,000 years ago. It's a prophecy of King Solomon, actually. And these three oaths are stated in King Solomon's prophecies, and this was upheld by the Jewish people throughout the world for 2,000 years. We went through many trials and tribulations, the Crusades, the Inquisition, and many, many hardships, and yet the Jewish people never recreated a Jewish sovereignty. We never built a so-called Jewish homeland because it's forbidden for us, and we believe that there is a God is the Almighty. He's all-compassionate. And when the time will come, he, with his compassion, will end this godly decreed exile, which is already now 2,000 years. And then he will make a miracle where all humanity will recognize the one God, and all humanity will join together, and we will rebuild the temple without any human intervention. It will be a godly thing. Not everybody will become Jewish. It's just the concept that all humanity together will recognize the one God and serve him in harmony. But from that time of the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago till today, and till the end of time till this time comes when the Almighty will rebuild the temple, till the time comes when God will end the exile, we are forbidden, expressly forbidden, to make a Jewish state. And therefore, the state of Israel, in its essence, in its mere existence, is a direct rebellion against the Almighty, ignoring all the commands of the Torah. And it's unacceptable, and the Jewish people, true to the Torah, whether they're from the Middle East, whether they're from Europe or the United States, we will not accept this. We cannot accept it. We refuse to accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel. That is, even if it would have been created in an uninhabited land, in a land that did not encroach upon the rights of another people. But being that this state of Israel was created by encroaching upon the rights of the indigenous populace, the Palestinian people, it compounds this rebellion against God, that who in the Torah, this covenant that God made with the Jewish people, He commanded us to not to steal, not to kill, and to be compassionate, to come, to do kindness, to emulate God, and all this concept of making a state, ignoring the existence of the people that were living there for this thousand-year period of time or more. By doing that, they are again committing a terrible crime, a rebellion against God. So it, and the concept of the state of Israel in every facet is really a crime. It is a Nakba. It is a atrocity. It is a colossal catastrophe, and it is unacceptable. And as Jews, we refuse to accept it. From the day one, when the Zionism starts, now we have to bear in mind that Zionism is not 1,000 or 2,000 years old. Zionism is a mere 150 years old or something in that area. So our religion, Judaism, is 3,000 years old, and we've went through many, as I say, many hardships and many rich history that the Jewish people went from when they were traveling through Europe. And although we suffered a lot, but we had, you know, beautiful part of our history where we had great scholars, great tzaddikim, holy men, and of course at the time that we at the beginning when we were in the Holy Land. So this, our history is very rich, and we were ready, the Jewish people throughout this history, to give their lives for the Torah. This history with 3,000 years existing, this Jewish religion. And Zionism is a new, relatively new movement of 150 years or so. It is a transformation from this holiness, from the subservience to the Almighty, to a mere nationalism, a base physical materialistic concept, masquerading in a facade of our religion, using the Star of David, using the menorah, using the name Israel, which is Jacob in the Torah. But it is not our Judaism. It is simply a facade. It is a falsification of our holiness, of our holy religion. And from day one, we opposed it. When Zionism started, the chief rabbi in Palestine, his name was Rabbi Sonnenfeld of blessed memory, met with the king of Transjordan in the 1920s. This was after it started, but when Zionism started to build their communities in the Holy Land, not yet a state, but so Rabbi Sonnenfeld was at that time the chief rabbi of the Jewish community in the Holy Land, and he recognized this terrible threat to both the Jews and the non-Jews, and he met with the king of Transjordan. He wrote letters in Arabic into the Arab newspapers at the time, and it's a lot of it we have, and a lot of it can be seen on our site, nkusa.org, www.nkusa, you can find our many of the letters, and this is to be found. He wrote and kept on writing and telling the populace, the indigenous populace, that it has nothing to do with our Jewish community, and we refuse to accept it, and we want to be loyal citizens to whether it was the Turkish rule at the time, the Ottoman Empire, and to the King of Transjordan and so forth. Later, in 1947, was when the United Nations was about to ratify a state of Israel, a Jewish state. At that time, Rabbi Sonnenfeld had passed away already, blessed memory, and the one who was the chief rabbi at the time was Rabbi Dushinsky. Rabbi Dushinsky, the pictures, forgive me, they're not so clear, was also, he took over, he was a very great and holy man, and he pleaded with the United Nations. He met with the delegation of the United Nations that came to Palestine, and this is his United Nations records, and he stated, I'm just quoting one sentence, this is from the United Nations records, in a declaration before in July 16, 1947, he said, "We furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish faith in any part of Palestine. Again, we furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine. And this was regardless of what the indigenous people, the Palestinians, the Christians, the Muslims would say. We don't want it. That's all he said. It has nothing to do with us as Jews. And they demonstrated. They stood on the streets and they demonstrated. Now, this chief rabbi and the rabbinate that we had and still have, that still exists in the Holy Land, in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem, that represents the Jewish community over there, this has nothing to do with the Israeli rabbinate and their chief rabbi that traipses around the world and declares themselves to be representative of the Jewish people. What they have is, again, window dressing, a farce, a false representation of Judaism, a false representation of both the Torah, of the religion Judaism, of the Jewish people. Yet, in the world doesn't even seem to know that there exists this rich Jewish community around the world, rich in spirituality, and in both in Jerusalem and around the world, that doesn't recognize the Israeli rabbinate, doesn't recognize their legitimacy, and that their rabbinate by us is a mere joke. It's a crime. So we have that. In fact, the demonstrations go on constantly. Just going further, when the Palestinian Authority was created, we had a representative in the Palestinian Authority. His name was Rabbi Moshe Hirsch of blessed memory. As you see, standing together with President Arafat, he lived in Jerusalem, and the Zionists poured acid in his face once he was going on the street, and he was almost entirely blind. That's just a small, sad part of the history, because we would have, he was simply not able to see. Most of our, we have thousands and thousands of people demonstrating. Zichem, can I say? We have, I was holding up pictures, but I thought you were able to see, but it seems that you're not able to see. But we have hundreds of thousands of Jews demonstrating in the streets of Jerusalem, in the United States, in Washington, D.C., and constantly we go out and we demonstrate. These are representation of the Jewish people, true to the Torah, from around the world. This goes on constantly. And when they demonstrate in the Holy Land, again, I wish I would be able to show you the pictures, but you can go to nkusa.org. You will see how Jews are brutally beaten. They're attacked, viciously attacked. They're beaten. And through the sad history of Zionism, many of our holy rabbis were assassinated, were murdered by the Zionists. When they were standing and demonstrating, they were beaten to death. Sometimes they were arrested, and another way is they were just murdered. They were shot in the street, assassinated cold-bloodedly. And this was our sad history. In fact, even before the State of Israel, and let's say, for instance, in 1924, we had a very famous diplomat, distinguished scholar. His name was Dr. Dahan. And he was a whole long story. He came from Denmark. He was very close with the King of Denmark. In fact, there's a statue of him in Denmark. And the King of Denmark, he was also a poet. Anyway, he was a very famous person, Dr. Yisroel Dahan, Yaakov Yisroel Dahan. And he decided to become religious. He thought that meant to become a Zionist. And he traveled in the 1920s. He went to Palestine. The King of Denmark even escorted him to the port. We went to the Holy Land. First, he became a Zionist, but almost immediately, being that he was searching for the truth, he saw that the rabbinate, Jewish community, the true Jewish community, is anti-Zionist, and he became very close with Rabbi Zonnenfeld, who we spoke about earlier, and he therefore stood up and started representing the anti-Zionist community. And when he saw that the British were ready to back and create a Zionist state, he said that he is going to go to Parliament and he's going to extricate the Jewish community from under the claws of the Zionist movement. And the Zionists told him that he should cease and desist. If not, they will kill him. And they cold-bloodedly assassinated him in 1924 in front of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in the middle of in the streets of Jerusalem, openly one morning. And that's just the beginning of history. As I say, since then, Jews have been murdered. Still in all, we go out, we demonstrate, sometimes in the thousands and tens and hundreds of times in smaller numbers. We're constantly demonstrating, whether it is in the streets of Jerusalem or whether it is in the streets of New York. Thank God in New York and in England and other places, we have the protection of our governments. But in the Holy Land, unfortunately, the government is this corrupt Zionist state, and they brutally beat the anti-Zionists. They arrest them. There's a law. There's mandatory military service in Israel, in the IDF. So every boy and girl from our communities who turns 17 becomes automatically a criminal at the age of 17 because we refuse. Our youth refuses to serve in the IDF. So therefore, they automatically become, according to them, a criminal. And they arrest them, both boys and girls. And we have many pictures of this and many facts that we demonstrate over there because of that. And this is our ongoing sad history since Zionism, yet the world doesn't know that. We cry, we hurt with the suffering of the Palestinians. We are just mortified and humiliated that what is happening to the Palestinian people is being done in the name of the name of our religion, of our holy religion, and under the symbols of the Star of David and the name Israel. It's just unacceptable. And my colleagues who are living in Jerusalem, we are constantly in contact. They are constantly contacting us, asking, are we standing by the United Nations? They go out and demonstrate. They try to go to Ramallah. They're always blocked by the Zionist militia, their terrorists, their IDF, and so forth. They constantly stop them from demonstrating together with the Palestinians. Sometimes they get through, and around the world we do, thank God, go demonstrate with the Palestinian people here in New York, or whether it would be in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House, in front of the Capitol. We demonstrate constantly to show our solidarity, our sympathy, our support, our hurt, how we cry and hurt and feel with the Palestinian people, and that we do not accept the occupation, not only in the what people call in the over the Green Line or something, in the entire occupied Palestine. We do not accept this. It's unacceptable. The Zionist state of Israel, it is not legitimate according to the Torah, and we will continually stand in opposition. And we pray constantly as God with his compassion should bring a speedy and peaceful dismantlement of this illegal Zionist state of Israel. And that's the long and short, I would say, of our position about the Zionist state. There's, of course, so much more to speak about. There's so much more to speak about how Jews, we teach our children about the history of how Jews lived amongst Arab and Muslim people throughout these hundreds of years, how grateful we are for when Jews went through the Inquisition and the Crusades and so many more times through the history, how the Arab and Muslim people embraced us and gave us a home and a safe haven, and we were able to coexist, and that this conflict that there is today has nothing to do with a difference of religion. There's nothing to do with that. This is not a religious conflict, and it has nothing to do with the difference, because there's distinctly Muslim people and distinctly religious Jewish people, and that is not the cause of this rift, of this terrible Nakba. In fact, as I say, even in the most religious Muslim countries, Jews were embraced and given a home, as we find today in Iran, which is called the Islamic Republic of Iran, and many other in the Arab and Muslim countries, the doors are opened. contrary to the Zionist narrative, but over there is a perfect example where you have Jewish people living a community that's the largest in the Middle East there besides in the occupied Palestine and the Islamic Republic of Iran, where you have a Jewish community thriving, living, and practicing their religion under the protection of the Islamic government. Because we have nothing, there is no religious conflict. The difference of religion is not the cause of a rift, and it never was, and we as Jews are tremendously grateful to the Muslims for providing to us all throughout the years a home that we could coexist. And we used to live in the same courtyards. We used to live in this, whether it would be in Iran, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, and on in Jordan, in Lebanon, all these countries, we lived together in the same courtyards, babysat each other's children, helped each other, and the difference of religion was never a cause of strife. We in the streets of Jerusalem, we again, there's so much pictures, and not only we have this, and not only we state this, the Muslim and Arab people will tell you their history, how we used to live together. Only since the advent of Zionism, this that has confused people and caused people to think that there is a conflict between Jews and Muslims, have there been this terrible, endless river of bloodshed. So the Zionism is the cause, this nationalist goal to take over, to hijack, to take over both the Jewish religion and the home, the homes of the Palestinians, and take over the land, the Holy Land. This is the cause of the rift. Now, we're not condoning violence, but we're stating that the root cause of all the suffering of this terrible divide between the Jewish people and Muslims is squarely because of Zionism, because of their movement, because of their ideology, because of their creation of the State of Israel. And if this, we would remove this relatively new concept of Zionism, which is a mere 100-odd years, then we could return to the old, as how history attests, that we lived in peace and harmony, and we would be able to once again live in peace and harmony. Even now, with Zionism, there is pockets or areas where the Zionists don't have their control, as I've said, as in Iran and so forth, where Jews still live together with Muslims in peace. And really around the world, if you will go to London, Stamford Hills, which is the most religious Jewish area, and other areas, even here in New York, where there's Muslim communities right next to the Jewish communities, where they're very clearly, distinctly dressed as Muslims, and the Jews are dressed as I am, very religious Jews, yet we live in peace. Why? Because this has nothing to do with the difference of religion. We want the world to know that, and that we teach our children that we don't have a conflict of religion. And again, if the problem is Zionism, God should help, the world should recognize this, to distinguish between Judaism, the religion, and Zionism, this political movement, and if it would be clearly distinguished between the two and separated, then people would understand that we simply have to remove and end, God help peacefully, this movement of Zionism, and we could again have peace throughout the world.
Yeah, exactly, Rabbi Weiss. I mean, that's what people need to understand. Because, you know, the thing about it is I wanted to mention also when you talked about Zionism and its oppression, even its oppression of Jews. We talked about this a little bit before, that the fact that the Nazis during the Second World War, many top Zionist leaders collaborated openly with the Nazis to kill other Jews. Because both the Nazis and the Zionists had the same aim of removing Jews from Europe and resettling them somewhere else.
Yes. There's a lot of that is again a history that the world simply doesn't know. It's a terrible part of the history of Judaism. And it is something that is unacceptable. A person, a normal person, will say that it can't be such an idea that the Zionists who profess to be the saviors and the heroes of Judaism would have such a stain on them that they actually colluded with the Nazis. And yet we put out a book called The Holocaust Victims Accused, and we have a lot of documentation of how the Zionists, exactly as you said, they colluded with the Nazis because they wanted the Jews to be sent up to Palestine and therefore help them create a state. Again, the rabbis stood in opposition to everything that they did, but they, in fact, but they simply had, as they have today, a very close relationship with the people in what they say the high offices, you know, in the that were in control. And Jews, we are people of the book. We are here to study, not to be politicians, and we've never delved into the concept of, you know, politics, and that's what we were. Our rabbis taught Torah and taught our youth, you know, to study Torah, not to get involved in politics, while the Zionists sought to get ingrate themselves and be connected to the heads of government, and they were therefore able to, you know, to be able to get the, this collude with the Nazis. Later, they turned it on its head when they saw that their own people were being killed and so forth. And now I just want to clarify something. It's not all of the Zionists did that. There are many of the leaders who did that. We have the documentation of that. We put out a book. We have a book, The Holocaust Victims Accused, which is full of documentation of this, of the colluding with the Nazis. Unbelievable. The Nazis themselves, and by the Nuremberg trials, you had Eichmann's henchman. Actually, was interviewed by Life magazine. And it's in Life magazine. There was like three series of Life magazine where they interviewed him, and he spoke about how he colluded with the Zionists. It's unbelievable. These are facts. There's much more. We have a lot of facts about that. But we also put out a book, Traditional Torah Opposition to Zionism, and we have a lot of the facts over there. The heads of Zionism, I'll just quote the first, Chaim Weizmann, who was the first president of the State of Israel, and he was the one who was pivotal in the creation of the state because he helped Britain by World War One. Actually, he was a scientist. He helped invent something like dynamite or something like that. And in order, as a recognition of that, they promised him to help him create a state. Yet later, in the 1930s, he had a meeting when they saw the writing on the wall that the Jews were being slaughtered by the Nazis and that they're God forbid, they're in a terrible, terrible danger. He had a meeting with the heads of the Zionists, and they were very powerful. They had a lot of money, their organizations, and I'm just going to quote what he said. And this was quoted in the Zionist paper called The Jewish Press, October 18th, 02, and there's many other places that this is quoted. And this is a statement from a meeting of the Zionists of Chaim Weizmann. He said, "Palestine cannot absorb the Jews of Europe. We want only the best of Jewish youth to come to us. We want only the educated to enter Palestine for the purpose of increasing its culture. The other Jews will have to stay where they are and face whatever fate awaits them. These millions of Jews are dust on the wheels of history and may have to be blown away. We don't want them pouring into Palestine. We don't want Tel Aviv to become another low-grade ghetto." Now, in other words, they had a meeting. They saw the Jews are in a terrible danger. And yet, he said, we only want the cultured, the ones who are going to be scientists, doctors, lawyers. We don't want the laymen, the plain people of the Jewish populace to come, and especially not the religious. They didn't want these people coming to Palestine because they were afraid that these Jews will oppose Zionism. So they said these millions of Jews are dust on the wheels of history and may have to be blown away. We don't want them pouring into Palestine. We don't want Tel Aviv to become another old great ghetto. Imagine that. They should die. There's the dust on the wheels of history. Would you imagine that this is not said by a Nazi? This is not said by a Gestapo, but this is being said by the leader of the Zionism, the president, the first president of the Zionist state of Israel. It's incomprehensible. And we have many more such quotes. We have Yitzhak Grunbaum, who was the chairperson of the Jewish Agency's Rescue Committee. He said, when they asked me, couldn't you give money out of the UJA, United Jewish Appeals Fund, for the rescue of Jews in Europe? I said no, and I say again no. One should resist this wave which pushes the Zionist activities to secondary importance. In other words, we don't want to spend our money to save Jews. I could go on and on and on. It's just incomprehensible, but these are facts. These are their own documents. These are facts that we have. And I could just say that from day one, Zionism is such a hypocrisy, such a false representation of Judaism. I like to show the picture of the first meeting of the Zionist Congress. Bear with me. I can't show you the picture here. But if you look at the picture of the declaration, you can Google it. The declaration of David Ben-Gurion reading the Declaration of Independence in 1948 in Independence Hall. Now look at that, Google it, and you'll see the picture of the dais over there. You'll see that not one of them is covering his head. They're all going with bare heads. Imagine making an Islamic state and not saying one imam, one ayatollah, one sheikh. And here you look at this. They're sitting under a Star of David, and all of them standing with their bare head, sitting with their bare heads. What a hypocrisy of this! They're creating the state of Israel, and then they're claiming that it's God who gave it to them. God wants it, and they're doing God's will, knowing that outside the Jews from the religious communities are outside and demonstrating, and they're bashing their heads in, and they're demonstrating against them. It's unbelievable that the world, unfortunately, doesn't see this and doesn't hear this, how the contrast between what real Judaism is and what the Jewish people want and what this Zionism is. A quote, Theodor Herzl, the father of Zionism, wrote in his own diary, and I'm just going to quote one little passage of his, one of his pearls of wisdom there, and he wrote, the way, on page 14 in his diary, the way to solve the problem of anti-Semitism is to speak to the head priest of Vienna to get an appointment with the Pope to make a mass conversion of all the Jews of Austria to Catholicism. It should be done on a Sunday in the middle of the day with music and pride publicly. We are the last generation that held on to the faith of our forefathers. The conversion will be institutions. Imagine that. This is his plan, his grand plan to help Jews. He wrote this in his diary. This was he lived in Vienna, and they even named the street after him, a square after him. He said the way to solve the problem of anti-Semitism is to make a mass conversion of all of the Jews of Austria to Catholicism. We were burnt at the stake. We gave our lives to uphold our religion. And yet he has the audacity to stand and write this in his diary that the solution is to have a mass conversion of all the Jews out of our religion. And this is the leader, this is the picture, David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann and Theodor Herzl. You have a picture of what Zionism is and what this state of Israel is. And it should never be confused with our religion, Judaism, and what they're doing to the Palestinians can only be done by such a group of inhumane people who have no sensitivity, no respect for God or our religion or the Jewish people, and we are dust on the wheels of history, and that is why what's happening to the Palestinians can be done by them. But we will never accept.
Rabbi, let me cut in here. We only have about a minute left. Can you give your website again, and also if you're on YouTube?
Ron, sorry to interrupt. Ron, we actually have, it might show 1 minute, but we actually have 16 minutes.
Oh, we have 16?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go
ahead give your website and your YouTube channel out right now.
The website
Bye-bye.
is USA, N as in Nancy, K as in King, USA like the country. So it's www.nkusa.org. And on YouTube, it's Neturei Karta. Now, Neturei Karta may be a little complicated to people because it's Aramaic. It means protectors of the city. It was the name given to the Jews right sort of the outside of Zionism. It means the protectors of the city, meaning the people who stand up in opposition to Zionism. I'll spell it for you. Neturei is spelled N-E-T-U-R-E-I space Karta. That is K-A-R-T-A. Again, Neturei Karta. N-E-T-U-R-E-I space K-A-R-T-A. Again, if you go to nkusa.org, you'll find us. And anti-Zionism, maybe it'll come up also in different ways with anti-Zionism, Jews anti-Zionism. If you look around.
Let me cut in here, Saeed. I just got a message on the board that says your episode has ended.
No, actually, technically, it hasn't, Ron. We still have 15 minutes, actually, so we can still.
Okay, well, go ahead then. Go ahead, Rabbi. And,
if you
want to
ask
the
Rabbi a question, you can go ahead. You can go ahead, Ron, if you want to ask the Rabbi. So basically,
Rabbi, are there any passages in the Old Testament that talks about when the Jews will return to Israel?
There's so many issues that we really should be speaking about, and that is one of the very, very common and popular questions. We don't know. We don't have a society. Told us there will be a time when God with his compassion will see it proper, and then he will make, there will be a where all the world, it says, all the nations will gather together and serve God in harmony. Again, we don't believe in our religion that everybody will become Jewish. We don't require everybody to be Jewish. We believe that God is the master of the universe, and he commanded everybody to believe that God gave Moses the Torah, which in the Torah states that every human being has to keep the seven commandments of Noah. That is to believe in one God, not to worship idols, not to kill, steal, commit adultery, and to have a court system in every land, and not to eat from an animal while it's still shaking, even if it's dead. There, in other words, even if one is slaughtered, you have to wait till it's completely dead. And you keep the seven commandments of Noah, you will inherit the world to come. You don't have to be Jewish to serve God. So we discourage people actually from becoming Jewish because you have to keep all the 613 commandments of the Torah. And we believe that, again, a person who upholds the seven commandments is doing God's will is fine. And but we do believe the day will come when God will... his glory will appear throughout the world, everybody will recognize him, then all the nations together will serve God with the Jewish people, and God will rebuild the temple, and it will be the will of all humanity. So that is what we yearn and we pray for, because our purpose in life is to serve God, and our purpose is to bring glory to God through our lives, through doing what's proper. It says that we're supposed to serve God as holy people, and that will bring the glorification to God. The pinnacle of that glory will be when God will reveal his glory throughout the world. So that's what we pray and yearn for, that closeness to God, when God will build the temple, when all humanity will serve him in peace and harmony. We talk about everybody becoming Jewish. It's the concept that we can live together with the Muslims, with everybody in peace and harmony, and serve God in peace and harmony as we've had for these hundreds and hundreds of years. That's a very important issue, but we never know when this will happen. It's all in the matter, it's in God's hands, and we're not even supposed to delve into this. Just we're supposed to do what's good, do good deeds, practice our religion properly, and then ultimately the day will come. We urge Jewish people to step out of the box, what we would say, you know, and stop being misled and going what people find popular and it's convenient, you know, that to be these Zionist communities, they try to represent that they represent Judaism, and if anybody stands up in opposition, they get labeled anti-Semitic. And if they're Jewish, they're called self-hating Jews, and they get harassed, as everybody knows. So we urge everybody, the non-Jews, not to buy into this and not to be intimidated, but to stand up for the Palestinian people. You're not anti-Semitic if you stand up to, in opposition to Zionism. On the contrary, Zionism is a cause of anti-Semitism. It exacerbates anti-Semitism. And we urge the Jewish people not to be fooled by the Zionists. They play on the emotions of Jews because we suffered by the Holocaust and so forth. So they play, my grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. All our communities, the majority were murdered of the religious communities and the non-religious. So they play on the emotions of the Jews and they use fear-mongering to say that the Arabs are part of the Zionists and they want the Jews dead. You know, it's a horrific portrayal, a false portrayal of history. They twist the history, and they use out the suffering of the Holocaust to, like Yad Vashem and different aspects of the Holocaust, as a tool to be able to gain support from around the world, and to use the guilt of the people that were silenced by the Second World War. They try to use that to gain support for their state. They say you didn't help the Jews then, now you should help us now. And they use this, unfortunately, so they use the death of my grandparents, of the many Jewish people who are anti-Zionists, and the suffering of the Jews as a whole, they use that to gain support for their state. So we urge both non-Jews and the Jewish people, don't fall prey to the Zionist propaganda. If they're using emotions, but not Jewish religion. They're using the emotions of the people of fear and that God forbid it should replay, God forbid the Holocaust. They use all different types of methods to gain support, but it has nothing to do with true Judaism. You should rather, if you're a Jew and you're looking for the truth, go to invariably the very religious communities around the world, stand as one. As if you will come to New York, for instance, right across from Manhattan, you cross the Williamsburg Bridge, right across from Manhattan. The largest concentration of religious Jews live over there, and outside of Jerusalem, the largest concentration, there's not one Israeli flag. If you will go to Stamford Hills in England, in London, that's the largest community over there. It's a concentration of religious Jews. There's also, you can barely find an Israeli flag because they're all, the more the religious the Jew is, the more anti-Zionist, the same as in Montreal, because Judaism does not accept Zionism. It's totally contradictory. It is antithetical to our religion. We are religion. Zionism is a transformation to nationalism and an unacceptable nationalism. We support and suffer and cry with the Palestinians, and we urge everybody that ultimately everything is in the hands of God. So we should all pray to the Almighty every day for the speedy and peaceful removal of the impediment to peace, the cause of bloodshed, this unacceptable Zionist state of Israel. We should pray to God. He should bring this about speedily and peacefully. And we urge everybody to stand up and for the Palestinian people. Don't be intimidated. You're not anti-Semitic when you stand up for the people of Palestine. We ourselves went to visit Gaza because we didn't want to travel through Israel. We went through Egypt, and we went and we brought medical aid. We sent an ambulance. This is, of course, symbolic because they need freedom. They need much more than that. But we always stood together with the Palestinian people, whether it is, we're non-political, so we went, whether it is Sunni or Shia, we went to Iran, we went to the Al-Azhar University and the Grand Mufti in Egypt, and we were met with all, and we always were accepted and embraced, whether it was in Egypt or whether it was by Ayatollah Khomeini or Ayatollah today Khomeini, we were accepted and are accepted as Jews and embraced and they all express this concept that they have nothing against Jewish people or Judaism, that we have no religious concept. So this is really critical to understand the difference between the two, between Judaism and Zionism, and that we should all speak up and help and urge, and we should try to get our political leaders that they should stop being intimidated by Zionism, and they should stop conflating and confusing Zionism with Judaism. They should not make it illegal, God forbid, for a voice that speaks up against Zionism, because unfortunately there's a lot of times people, politicians, through the urging of the Zionists, they try to make it illegal even to speak up against Zionism and to explain that this is anti-Semitic, which is ridiculous, repugnant, unacceptable. So that is also a very big, important issue.
Yeah, and then Rabbi, I also wanted to mention, yes. Ron, do you want to ask anything else of Rabbi Weiss, or you can go ahead if you want.
No, go ahead. We got, what, about 8 minutes left or so?
Yeah.
Five, okay.
Yeah. 8 minutes. Yeah, so I wanted to ask Rabbi Weiss. You made that's a very interesting point. And then I also wanted to ask, has your organization, Netzach Karta, has your organization also, I'm sure you faced a lot of like hate mail and hatred from like radical Zionist groups, like maybe like the Jewish Defense League, or there are many others. Have you faced that type of wrath?
Of course. Our branch, or whatever you would call many of, you know, actually Neturei Karta is, as I say, it means the protectors of the city. It's a loose, it's not a card-carrying group. It means the ones who are very vocal against Zionism, although there are many groups and many voices against Zionism in the religious communities, Neturei Karta is one of the very vociferous, very vocal. And so both us and the other great voices against Zionism, for instance, the Chief Rabbi of Palestine, Rabbi Teitelbaum of blessed memory, who was in the 1960s, 1970s, and he moved away from Palestine with the title of Chief Rabbi of Palestine, moved to New York, and they tried to assassinate him, the Zionists tried to, and our communities have a history of being attacked physically and many other ways. They threaten us, threaten our lives. They invariably, after demonstrations, they would come there. They would come by the demonstrations, unabashedly take pictures, video pictures, and then they would, if they would find people who joined the demonstration, if they have any way of harassing them, they will do that. For instance, if they recognize somebody who works in a business that they can affect, or works in a, for instance, in a store, they will go to the owner of the store and say, you know, if you're going to keep this person in your business, we won't be able to do business with you. Or they'll go to people advertised by them and so forth. You know, they keep on, they look for ways to threaten and to harm people who speak up against Zionism. And they're to a certain degree, they're successful because we have thousands who demonstrate. There would be constantly tens of thousands demonstrating if it wouldn't be for the fear of the repercussions of when you speak up against Zionism. There's the physical attacks, and that they attack people's families. And as I say, then people lose their jobs. After every demonstration, people lose their jobs because they see to harass the businesses that they're associated with, the ones who speak up against Zionism. So our voice is silenced. Who's talking about the newspapers? There are many newspapers there and news outlets that are owned by Zionists, and even the ones that aren't, what they do is they threaten them. They have a camera, it's called an organization. They have other names of organizations that they watch, and they threaten newspapers and news outlets that if they'll report on anti-Zionist activity or they are too sympathetic to the Palestinian cause, then they'll seek to shut them down. And they really threaten them, so the papers decide, and the news outlets, that it's not worth the hassle. And a lot of times they simply do not report on our activities and many of the other activities that we do. That said, we also urge people to spread our word where it's possible, and that we go out to every country we go. We travel around the world, thank God, in every continent. We've been around, we've gone to, whether it is Africa or South Africa or Asia or wherever it is. We've been in Indonesia and Malaysia. We've been all over, thank God. We speak in universities. It's our godly requirement to let the world hear that Zionism is not Judaism and they're falsely using our religion, and that we stand in solidarity with the Palestinians, and our religion stands in opposition to the Zionist state of Israel. So we try to get a platform to be able to speak. We look for universities, and we do think, thank God, we speak in many universities throughout the world and other schools, even not universities, great schools we go, and we try to educate people, and we don't charge for our speaking. We want the world to hear. We plead with university students and centers to call us, because we try to rebuild this bridge, to reconnect, to be able to solidify and to repair this rift, and to let the world between Jews and Muslims and Arabs, and let the world know that this is not a conflict of religion. It's a conflict against opposition to religion called the Zionist state of Israel and Zionism.
Yeah, and just to close out, Rabbi, could you give our listeners your webpage again and where they can get material about your organization and everything?
Yes, with God's help, our organization is Neture Kart International, and the website is nkusa.org. N as in Nancy, nkusa.org.
Well, thank you so much, Rabbi Weiss. We really enjoyed you on the program. And thank you for, putting out the message that there are courageous Jews against Zionism.
Thank you. God bless. I really appreciate it. A lot of success. And keep in touch. Feel free
definitely,
to call us.
Definitely. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, guess that's it. Okay. Are you still there, Fade, or?